And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. Straight across the line to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And the big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just radio. That's just the radio footprint. Whew. And I mean to say, y'all, there's a bunch of y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web live streaming the show. You can look inside the studio, see what we're wearing even. I mean, let's listen. Live streaming the show every single day on places like X, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook. And oh, by the way, our website, rightsidemedia.org. Rightsidemedia.org. And then a ton of y'all podcasted after the fact, catch up things you might have missed. I say all that every single time because I want you to know that, first of all, we know where it's being viewed or listened to, and we can tell, and it means the world to us, because wherever you get this show, you're the reason why we do it. Thank you very much, all you Right Side ruffians. You are much loved and appreciated. All right, this is the time of the week when we jump on this thing we call JP on Sports. In case you did not know, Brother JP is a guru on sports, all things sports, sports all over the place, different kinds of sports, even with commentary thrown in. And oh, by the way, he has the absolute best sound effect of all of them, courtesy of Sorority Girls from Auburn. Hit it.
JP on Sports!
Nice! Okay, he smiles every time, too.
It's great, what can I say?
It is what you can say. JP on Sports goes in two rounds. First round's called the three and out, top three stories as he sees it. And the second round comes in at the two-minute warning, timer and a buzzer. Three and out, go.
So we have a big win today with World Boxing has announced yesterday that they are officially instituting sex testing policies for their athletes, effective immediately, pretty much. But here's why this is a big win, because World Boxing, as of March of this year, became the governing body for the Olympic boxing.
Ah.
And if you follow, the story is really funny, in my opinion, because the IBA, the International Boxing Association, used to be the governing body for the Olympics. They decided to move away from them for governing and finance issues was the reasoning. But what's funny is the IBA already had sex testing for their competitions. They actually banned Iman Khalif from their boxing competitions, which Iman Khalif was the transgender or the intersex whatever boxer. Big controversy last year. He ended up winning the women's gold. But they actually banned him from their events because he didn't pass their sex testing. However, the Olympics called that Russian misinformation and allowed Iman Khalif to box in their event anyways. Yeah. Yeah. But what's funny is now that they went away from that same organization, the IBA, and brought in the World Boxing, now World Boxing is now instituting a sex testing policy. So it's like the Olympics is almost like got away from the old organization, which was using Russian misinformation saying that Iman Khalif didn't pass, but now their new governing body is now not going to allow Iman Khalif to box anyways. So this is a big win because, like I said, now the Olympics in 2028 has no excuse to allow what happened last year to happen again.
Yeah.
And also, so the World Championships for Boxing starts next month, and the World Boxing runs this World Boxing Championship. So Iman Khalif will not be competing in the upcoming World Championships. There was a rumor that he was retiring. However, he came out and claimed that his old manager was putting out misinformation. I'm not retiring. Well, where are you going to box, buddy? Nobody's going to let you box anywhere. And you can box as a male. Go ahead. You know. But however, I'll say interesting too, Lin Yuting, which was the boxer from Taiwan last year, also intersex. Another, his story wasn't as big as Iman Khalif's, but he claims that he's still going to try and box in this upcoming World Championships. So we'll see. We'll see if he passes the test. If he does, you know, that'd be interesting. But
wow,
don't think he will.
Wow.
But this is, like I said, a major win because last year it was just a complete catastrophe. The girls that worked their whole lives to get to that point were robbed. They were put in genuine danger for their life. People have died in boxing matches before. So now the Olympics are going to have to comply because guess what? Your governing body is going to make it comply now.
It was also so tragic to watch. I've forgotten the one young female who had to box Khalif and had trained for years to be in the Olympics and represent her nation, only to have it just be taken away from her unfairly like that.
She took about one or two jabs and quit because she said, I've never felt anything like that in my life before.
Yeah.
So good riddance to Iman Khalif, you know, that pathetic loser who did that. Now he, I don't know where he's going to box, but
so quick question: do you think this was a backdoor way for the Olympics to not have to make the decision themselves, and they helped to get another organization in to supervise, or do you think this really was like a whoops, we got you?
This was a whoops, we got you moment. Yeah, I don't think they foresaw this, but like I said, they got no excuse now. They can't claim Russian misinformation now. So.
Oh wow! Okay, that is a cool story. All right, that's one. What's two?
So the SEC announced yesterday they will be moving to a 9-game schedule starting next year, which is interesting. So now there's going to be pods to where each team every year has 3 teams that they have to play against, but all the rest, you know, will kind of be shuffled in and out. There's been a debate about what the 3 games for each team is going to be. I think it is funny. It's kind of deemed as like each school's like 3 main rivals would be their teams. There's been a lot of speculation, though. Auburn's been one of the teams speculating the most of what the 3 is going to be. Alabama, obviously. Georgia, obviously. But who's that 3rd team going to be? Some people say Vanderbilt needs to be the team because of, I don't know if there's some Vanderbilt-Auburn rivalry. LSU has been another one thrown out there. I think it needs to be LSU.
Or Tennessee.
But, yeah, it's been it's interesting, the SEC moving to this 9-game schedule. I guess it's trying to make each game more competitive. It's kind of the reason that's been speculated as to why they're doing that. And there's less of the games that, like, Alabama is going to have to can avoid Georgia this year, or the best is going to always have to play the best, I think, is the intention behind it. But I will say, though, Alabama does have it's. You can thank Dixieland Delight for this because of the song of the 3 teams in the song. So now, of course, the 3 teams Alabama's going to have to play every year are Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee, which is the hardest draw of teams in the SEC, I would say. But I'm not complaining. It'll be fun. It is interesting, though, the 9-game schedule. We'll see if other conferences start to move towards that model as well.
I don't remember like until like the last 10 years, I feel like. I don't remember there being this constant sense that everything's being redesigned every year. Something about college football has to change. We have NIL. We had the portal. We had the redesigned version of the SEC, the SEC 2.0, the SEC 3.0, the SEC 4.0. We have the BCS. We have, I mean, like it changes every year.
The one common factor in all of that is money. So, but I do also think, like I said, the SEC, I think they're trying to make a model to where a team can get in the playoff each year. So that, I mean, if strength of schedule doesn't matter as much, then I guess the 9-game schedule doesn't matter as much either. But I think the SEC wants the best playing the best as much as possible. I think lowering the game amounts will help that. But, you know, next year we'll see if it makes it any better, more interesting. But yeah, that's a big move by the SEC.
Wow. Okay. What? SEC still the leader in NCAA football.
For sure.
Okay. So that's 2. What's 3?
So I'm going to be objective as possible.
Oh my goodness.
On this one.
I see the look on your face. I doubt it.
So Auburn earlier this week made
they made a
big announcement.
Well, give me the sound effect buttons.
I wonder what sound effect you want for this. I mean, I'm trying to be objective as possible, but
get your finger off the sex. Okay. Go for it.
So they added 4 more national championships, self-claimed national championships, to their list. They added 1910, 1914, 1958, and 2004 to their list. So I didn't know already Auburn was claiming 4 national championships. So now this will make their total up to 8 or 9.
Nine.
Like I said, I think the self-claiming thing.
9.
People talk about Alabama's 1941 team, which I would agree is pretty egregious and funny that Alabama claims that national title. So if you want to have that argument, yeah, that's fair. I think the thing that people are having an issue with is Auburn is like the first team to go back in their entire history and go through and claim national titles. They pretty much went through and any journalist like body that claimed Auburn as a national champion, they claimed that season. But as an Auburn fan, I know Jeff Poore earlier this week said he didn't like it. He felt it was a little tacky. I'm curious as to what the Auburn fans listening would think about this. How do you feel about Auburn going back and claiming those national championships? Do you think it's tacky? Do you think it's goofy? How do you feel about it?
Me personally?
Yes.
I got mixed feelings on it. I think there were a couple of them. I think the Bowdens, the two that are closest in time. I can't even speak to the old ones. I'd have to look at them. I don't remember.
Yeah, 1910, 1914.
Yeah, I don't remember. But you know what? There probably wasn't that. It probably was very questionable as to whether they could have been 1910. But I think I look back at the undefeated seasons. I look back at the seasons where they were robbed. I look at Bowden and Tuberville both coaching on seasons that were like magic seasons and then not getting the right to even play for it. And I say, oof, okay, I see where it could go. I'm also an Auburn fan, and so there's that. And so there's a little objectivity missing on my part. But I also recognize that we sort of self-declared this. In the end, there's somebody else claiming the same season, so it kind of has an asterisk next to it no matter what you do. I do think it's interesting, though, that the guy who's now campaigning to be governor of the state of Alabama
is now a national champion
all of a sudden.
Tommy Tuberville is now a national champion.
Can't hurt.
Also, if we're going by the self-claimed genre, Auburn is now the second team in the SEC in terms of national championships. But like I said, and I'll finish
first.
Alabama.
Okay.
I'll finish off with this.
I knew it. I was asking that anyway, just for your benefit.
If it was at the time in the era where everybody was self-claiming national champions, and in an era where three teams could be a national champion in the same year, I think that's one thing. I think the part that is causing people to be a little skeptical or think it's a little bit goofy is the fact that they went back in their whole history and went through and claimed a bunch of titles. So who knows? I mean, if they would have did it at that time, that's one thing. But I think it is funny that Auburn went from a four-time national champ to a nine-time national champ overnight.
Five-time to nine-time.
Sorry.
What are y'all claiming, 32 now?
No, we can. No, I'm just kidding.
So what I don't want to see is a poster hanging on the wall that says, what was Tuberville's year?
2004.
2004. 2004 national championships paid for by friends for Tommy Tuberville.
Vote for him for governor.
All right, there it is. That's the three and out. You good? That's it? All right, three and out. That's round one of JP on Sports. Good stuff, man. We come back next round. It's called the two-minute warning. I've got a buzzer and a timer. Yeah, we'll see what his stories are. 2 minutes out of whack. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Man, we're almost through 2 hours on a Friday, but we're going to get you all the way to go home time. Y'all stay with us. In the meantime, it's time for round two of JP on Sports. Call it the two-minute warning. I got a timer. We got a buzzer. He's got it. Go.
So we were just talking about how different the world of college football is now. This is a crazy story. Well, not really crazy. I guess it's kind of crazy if you look at it through the lens of how quickly things have changed. But Brian Kelly, the coach of LSU, revealed himself how much LSU spent in NIL on their 2025 roster.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you want to take a guess? Take a guess at how much you think LSU spent on their roster.
I'm just going to go swag it. I'm going to say $52 million.
It's actually $18
million. Okay.
However, that is still a lot of money. $18 million. Think about that headline. If that headline was, I don't know, in 2023, 2022 even, that an SEC coach is himself saying they spent $18 million on this team this year. If you would have read that headline in 2023 or 2022, whenever, you would have been like, okay, so when's he getting arrested and fired? Because that's illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
But now it's like, oh, $18 million.
And there have been people arrested, fired, and losing their jobs and teams that have lost their championships and all kinds of stuff over the years.
Yeah, so that's nuts. And I think the fact, like I said, that an SEC coach himself is saying that they're going to be at about $18 million for the roster this year. And that may not even be at the top. I mean, Texas, I'm sure, spent over $20 million with the boosters that they have with that, Texas oil money. Or A&M. I bet Texas A&M, too, may even be even higher than that. So I don't think LSU would even be at the top of the list in terms of SEC teams and what they spent on their roster. But $18 million, I think that answers the question of what you asked earlier about why there's so many changes in college football, because college football is just – it's at a point of, like, there's filthy money in college football and college
– That's two words, filthy and money.
It's true. And, college basketball is probably second behind them, but I think it's well known. College football may be neck and shoulders above everybody else in terms of money.
There it is. That's the 2 minutes. Reset the clock. Go.
This is a hilarious story, and it's a big – gotcha story of so Colin Kaepernick, who everybody knows, had his whole stint of activism as a third string quarterback in the NFL, maybe second, but I think he was third. Anyways, so apparently there was a Spike Lee documentary that was in the makings with ESPN for years, and Spike Lee then came out and said that they're actually not going to be making that documentary anymore. So it kind of went away with his tail between his legs and goes, yeah, I guess we're not going to make it anymore, which is hilarious. And it actually is a bit funny that ESPN, of all places, has nixed it, because I think they know it's probably not going to make enough money. They're not going to make any money on that documentary.
Yeah.
Because nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares anymore about Colin Kaepernick and how he was an activist for that one season where he wasn't seeing the field, and now he's a loser who's not in the NFL anymore. Keeps trying to get in the NFL, but he's just not good enough anymore. That's pretty much all there is to the story. This guy took a knee. He wasn't good. That's why he didn't play. And then for years to come, he still wasn't good, and that's why he didn't play. He had nothing to do with racism or the fact that he was taking a stand. Or like, that's just not an interesting documentary, in my opinion. So I think it's funny that ESPN themselves, which is one of the more woke organizations,
yeah, they are,
in the world, is even recognizing, okay, this is,
they decided not to go there.
This is gonna bomb. Sorry, Spike, you just take your ball and go home. So it's amusing. It's also one of those vindicating moments of like, Spike Lee had to be told nobody cares.
Was Spike Lee told, or Spike Lee wanted to drop it because it was a no brainer?
Spike Lee definitely did not want to drop it. Okay, you look at Spike Lee. Spike Lee definitely still thinks that would be a big documentary. Everybody would want to see it. I think he had to be told, nah, that's not the case.
There it is. All right, that's the timer and the buzzer. Next round, go.
So speaking of ESPN, their wokeness, so SportsCenter put up this graphic, and I don't think there's an actual reason for this graphic. I think they just put it up to put it up, but it was a graphic, and the caption says, all the icons, all the moments, all of ESPN, all in one place. And it was this graphic of a bunch of current and former players. I'm seeing Peyton and Eli Manning in here. I'm seeing Luka Doncic. I'm seeing Simone Biles. But here's the thing. This graphic got destroyed on social media. Because one third of the players on this graphic were WNBA players that people did not even know the name of. And there were only four MLB players on there. Okay. Which, so ESPN is continuing their dislike of baseball for whatever reason, which is why they lost the MLB this past offseason. But like I said, one third being WNBA players. Scottie Scheffler, the number one golfer in the world. Is not even on the graphic. And I think the only golfer on this graphic may be Tiger Woods, but I honestly, right now, looking, I don't even see Tiger on there. So this was a clear virtue signaling of the WNBA players, which, like I said, if I asked you to name WNBA players, people would say Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. That's probably about it.
Womp, womp, womp.
But that's a third of the graphic are WNBA players. And what's really funny about this is I actually went back to look at this post to talk about it. The post has been deleted. So they clearly took took the message and got rid of it. But that's just that. Like I said, it's indicative of who they are as an organization. They try to virtue signal and prop up the sports that nobody cares about, like the WNBA, and yet don't even put MLB players or Scottie Scheffler in there, which is way more popular than the WNBA. So good job, SportsCenter. At least they deleted it.
That's amazing. Did you hit the buzzer?
I did the buzzer.
Okay, thank you very much. We got time.
Music's playing.
Wow, that went right up to the buzzer. Good job, man. All right, listen, that was JP on sports. Good stuff. I have more questions now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, hour number 3 coming up. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.